Hi, my name is John Biederbach, and welcome to Hats Chat. I'm sitting here with the, what are you, the founder. The godfather, the CEO emeritus, OG. Are you familiar with that term,
OG? No, OG, no.
Yeah, original gangster.
Oh, yeah.
Kip Murray, and what we wanted to do is record a few podcasts. Right now we're starting with one for each camp out. So this is for the Brazos canoe trip. And this is designed for teams that are on their way or preparing for the trip, just to be able to get in the mindset of the camp out so that you show up with, you know, understanding a little bit of what to expect. So Kip, the first question, I'm sure many people have heard by now the inspiration for High Adventure Treks. What they may not know is that the sixth grade Brazos trip was actually the first Hats camp out ever.
Started
when Megan was in the sixth grade at Moss Haven.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about how that came together.
You know, it when we first started Hats, we really thought it was going to be teaching our girls survival techniques. And we figured out early on that what they really wanted was bonding experiences. And we had 28 dad and daughter teams go on the first thing.
Oh, wow.
So we had 28 canoes going, and there was no, really no instructions before.
Yeah.
Other than just follow us, and, you know, we're all going to the same place, and we'll eventually make it there.
Yeah.
And
and I think that is one convenient thing about that trip is the river only flows in one direction.
Exactly.
So, you know, I've seen people turn an 8-mile trip into a 24-mile trip hitting bank to bank to bank, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, and I think it's wholly dependent, too, on how much water's flown out of that day.
Oh, absolutely.
There's been times where we've made it in 4 or 5 hours, and there's been times where we've made it in, seems like, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's sometimes it's a canoe hike where you're hiking and pulling the canoe.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the fun thing is you're on the water, and, you know, if you get tired or hot, you just lay down.
Yeah.
And that's very refreshing.
You know, for many Hats campers, this will be their fifth or maybe even their seventh or eighth Hats camp out. But this was the first one that my daughter and McKenna and I went on in 2008. And I know you remember the story because we've talked about it. But this was the weekend that Hurricane Ike hit Houston in 2008. And I kept waiting for the trip to get canceled because, you know, the weather comes up from Houston and you know, we were going to be kind of right in that path. And I thought, this is nuts. Like, there's no way we're going to go canoeing in the middle of a hurricane. But by the time we got out to Palo, the weather had cleared and kind of blown off to the east. And there were 6 or 8 teams on the riverbank. And you came out and greeted us. And we had an awesome weekend. Beautiful sunset. I think it rained like about 15 minutes that whole weekend. But, you know, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. And that was, in my memory, that was one of the most gorgeous sunsets I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it just lit up the sky. But it goes back to what we've always said. There's no inclement weather. There's only inadequate clothing.
You know, weather has factored into this camp out many times. What do you remember about Brazos trips and weather?
The event that sticks out most in my mind, John, and I still get goosebumps thinking about this. We were on one of the canoe trips, and this does not happen very often, you know, but it started raining on Thursday, and it didn't stop raining until the next Tuesday. It just rained. And so we got into the island that we camp on, and we were kind of talking about, man, everybody's gear's going to get soaked. And somebody said, well, I've got a 12 by 14 foot tarp. Maybe we could use that. So we got all the dads and daughters around this tarp, and we held it up, you know, about over our shoulders height. And Warren Lewis and his daughter got under it and set up their tent and moved in their stuff dry.
Yeah.
And we all went, oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so Warren and his daughter got out, and they took somebody's place, and we held it above their area, and they put up their tent and got the rain fly on, got their stuff. We got everybody into their tents dry.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also the interesting thing about that camp out where you, you know, tell the story of the tarp is how many of those one-offs make it into the program and then become kind of standard operating procedure. I mean, I've done that exact same thing on the seventh grade camp out. There was a fifth grade camp out at Lake Whitney where it seems like we had a lot of rain. And I don't think we did it to set up tents, but I know we had to do it to set up the fire.
Right, over and, the charcoal.
Yeah, there was one we burned a hole in the top of. You know, thank goodness those blue tarps are fairly cheap and ubiquitous.
Yeah.
But, you know, presumably the teams that will be listening to this podcast on their way to the Brazos for the first time, what do you want to tell that dad-daughter or dad-son team who are getting ready for the trip?
Well, the whole thing about this trip, and we've talked about this before, you know, a canoe is not a canoe. It's a communication device.
Yeah.
And what the dads and daughters need to learn is they've got to be patient with each other. And they've got to talk to each other in a civil tone of voice.
Yeah.
And they have to work together as a team to get to where they want to go without bouncing off of each side of the river bank sides.
Yeah.
And that takes a little bit of doing. But once they accomplish that, it's a life skill lesson that lasts them the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Because they've learned patience and they've learned communication and they've learned being able to and realizing that they have to work together as a team.
Yeah. One thing that we may not have talked a lot about up to now, and it used to be in the curriculum and I think it's kind of maybe fallen a little bit away, is how these campouts really build on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about the original fourth grade new member, that theme is really growing relationships. You know, it's just to get people out in nature. No other purpose other than to get them out. And then, you know, when we start to do the dinosaur hunt and the fifth grade adventure, that's really to get them in that spirit of adventure. And then we move into fifth grade canoeing, sixth grade canoeing, and that's all about communication.
Right.
And if you think about it, this is perhaps the first time in that dad-daughter or dad-son team, the first time that the daughter or the son has ever been in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that is unique about the HATS experience is we put kids in these leadership roles early on. And I can't think of a time before that, when McKenna was in charge of anything, and yet canoes are steered from the back.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great metaphor for the lessons that they're going to have to learn over the next few years as they go into junior high, as they go into high school.
You know, one of the amazing things to me on this canoe trip is on Sunday, we teach the dads and daughters knots.
Yeah.
Rope knots that they're going to be able to use to lash the gear into the canoe or tie the canoe, secure it to a tree or something like that. Well, the whole theme of that is we teach the girls two knots, and then we teach the dads two knots.
Oh, okay.
And then the dads and daughters come together, and their job is to teach each other the knots that they learned.
Yeah.
You really don't know something until you teach it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's just an extraordinary experience. And after one of the campouts, one of the moms called me, and she said, "Kip, my daughter," makes me teary-eyed, "my daughter and my dad, or my husband, showed me the knots that they learned, and they taught them to me."
Yeah.
Well, when I was growing up, my dad did all of the knots, all the lashings, anything that went on the roof of the car. He did all of that. And I never got to.
Yeah.
And he didn't take the time to teach me.
Yeah.
And in one weekend, again, you have taught my daughter four knots she's going to use forever.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have to wait for somebody else to tie things down. She can do it.
Yeah. And by the way, I should mention, we've now checked the box. Kip has been brought to tears, and that's a critical element of any HATS chat.
This is one of the few campouts, John, where teams don't have access to their cars. What have we done to ensure teams are safe when they travel down the river and camp overnight without having access to a car?
Yeah, and that's a great question. The first thing that I never realized is that gravel bar, it's not an island. There's a road that actually, because I've been out there when people have been out there in cars.
Uh-huh.
So there is a certain amount of emergency vehicle access that we could get there. But the first couple times that I went on, I really did wonder, what would we do? if we had something, because there was no cell service.
Right.
And so we've done a few things. The first thing we've done is we've trained all of our directors and a lot of our senior mentors in first aid. And we've equipped them with first aid kits. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty much able to handle anything first aid wise as it comes up. And a lot of the reasons we did that is we wanted agreement. We wanted this mutual understanding that here's a situation and there's one standard HATS way to handle it and everybody's singing from the same hymnal.
Right.
And so I think that that's a really good first step. The second thing is we've been blessed with AEDs. And so, you know, we hope we're never going to have to use them, but every trip goes out with an AED. The next thing is that we now have satellite communication that goes out on all these trips. So there is, at a minimum, a Garmin SOS device that goes out.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the cell phones now can communicate with satellites and can text off the satellites. So we have a lot more communication than we've ever had. And then, you know, something we've done from the very beginning, and that is we are very close to the takeout. You know, worst comes to worst, within about 10, 15 minutes, you can get somebody in the canoe, get them down to the takeout, and then we leave a car there.
Right.
What's something you hope that teams learn this weekend?
Through these experiences, they're developing a communication process that is just phenomenal.
Awesome. Well, to all the teams out there that are preparing to go on their first Brazos, or if you are mentoring it because you like it, we wish you nothing but smooth sailing and great weather. And if it is rough seas and bad weather, well,
that's part of the adventure.
It'll work out.
Absolutely.